God is good. And all the time. And as we walk in that truth and prepare ourselves for the Word of God this day, we are continuing on in our sermon series that we've been looking at, Food for Your Soul. I pray that it has been a blessing to you looking at the different venues that the Lord has for us in how we are to be spiritually nourished. And that without spiritual nourishment, we will be spiritually starved. And there are so many people that go around in this world spiritually starved, and they don't understand why things aren't right in their spiritual life. Well, it's because you're not taking any spiritual nutrition into your soul. And just as we take in physical food, so too we must take in spiritual food in order to grow spiritually. Okay? Otherwise, if you don't feed your body, what happens to it? You will die. If you don't feed your soul, what happens to it? It too will die. And, you know, that is the second death, and that's not a good thing because we don't come back from that one. So today I want us to remember that each and every time we come to Sunday service, you do realize God brings us to a place where there is a wonderful, massive dinner that is prepared for us called the service. Amen? And that dinner is here to fill us and sustain us, to move us out into the week. And for many who come to church services, that's all they get. They get that dinner, and then they go out, and they complain if it's more than 15 minutes, if pastor preaches more than 15 minutes, there's something wrong. You know, if you can't say it in 15 minutes, you don't need a half hour to say it either. I've had people tell me that all my life, and I just look at them and say, really? That's what you think of God? So when Jesus comes and says, sit at my feet, you'll say, well, 15 minutes, Lord. I think that's going to last forever. It's called eternity. That's where we're getting ready to go. Amen? So we need to understand, if we're going to sit there for eternity, you better be able to sit here for a half an hour. Second, one of the things I need all of us to understand, too, is the fact that God also gives us not only a full-course meal in the worship service with worship and prayer, with times of reflection and meditation and the sermon. I mean, it's meat, it's potatoes, it's the drink, it's everything. But God also then, because God knows us, okay? How many of you have ever been to a Christian potluck? Right? I'll tell you what, it's amazing to walk past the hot foods and the cold salads, and then you turn around and there's a dessert tables, plural, right? Well, I look at this next thing as the potluck dessert table, and that's called discipleship, okay? Why does pastor look at discipleship as the potluck desserts? Because it happens on Sunday for us, okay? For some churches out there, it'll happen during the week. They have their Sunday service, but because they have three and four services on Sunday, they'll have discipleship during the week. And it's kind of cool that they can do that kind of stuff. But for those folks, that discipleship becomes a whole potluck meal in itself. Why does pastor call it potluck? Because the way we do discipleship, we have a person who facilitates, right? But one of the things that I like is that each and every one of us gets to add to the conversation. We do not do Sunday school where you are lectured, okay? Our discipleship is a facilitator, and then we discuss, we chew it up. Everybody adds their pieces. And I am amazed at how many pieces come from all the different people. And all of a sudden, we have a potluck because this person's bringing mashed potatoes, this person's bringing roast beef, this guy's got the gravy for it all, etc., etc. We even get some of the dessert in there, especially when Miss Tina and Nancy, you know, do the goodies out here when we get the, oh no, that's the koinonia time. I'm getting beside myself now. We get some really awesome stuff going on in the house of the Lord when it comes to feeding. But God knows we need more than just these things. Okay, God understands. This is generally what happens on Sunday, and He fills us up. We are the most fed up people in the world. Do you know that? Have you ever been to a Christian dinner where you weren't fed up completely? I want you to think about the meaning of that. So today, I want us to think about, wow, what happens in the middle of the week when we run out? Well, I taught you last week that God shows us that there's unknown food, and now you've been made aware of it. Now you are accountable to it. That the work of Him and His will, Him who sent us, and that's God, right? The Lord Jesus, because He has sent us now, love God, love others, and what? So as we are going, we are literally being fed. As we are doing the will of God, as we are doing the work that He has set for us to finish that work, and it's your work, all right? Just as Jesus finished the work of salvation, we can't add to salvation, but we can add to the kingdom those who will be coming. As we do our work, others will come, all right? So it's understanding we have to do our portion. And as we do, God fills us. He empowers us. Because I want us to remember, physical food has sustenance. Spiritual food has power. That is its sustenance. And as we are brought before God in these things, He moves us forward with His power right into our body. Our body has to break down physical food into sugar to turn it into energy. When it comes directly from God, the food that we receive is the power of the Holy Spirit to do and be as Christ in this world. Amen? That should be enough, shouldn't it? What more do I have to preach on? I should be able to take a vacation for a couple weeks till you all get this chewed up and worked out, right? Well, unfortunately, no, because till Wednesday, you're going to find yourself in a lull. Anybody been there? Some of us, we might make it till Thursday, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh. But some of us don't even make it out the door on Sunday, do we? Until it's all gone, because something happens with the kids, the husband says a smart remark, somebody forgets something, and the next thing you know, everything we just ate goes gone. So then what do we do for the rest of the week? Well, that's one of the places where I need to talk about you, about the hangries. Hence our spiritual sermon title for today. How many of you love that spiritual sermon title that I gave them? Food for your soul, how to cure the spiritual hangries. Please look at the way I spelled that because I didn't want copyright infringement, so I spelled it really weird because I'm Pennsylvania Dutch and I can do that. I spelled it the way it sounds. Because we all know what hangry is, right? And we want to thank a very famous commercial, a candy maker that made a commercial out there about the hangries. It is hungry, angry. In other words, because we're hungry, we get grumpy. Ain't none of us ever been there, right? Ain't none of us ever, you know, we got this grumbling in our stomach, and the next thing you know, somebody walks into your office and says, hey, la, 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 and you're just like, rawr. You're on a diet, right? Oh, ain't none of us ever been here. We're on a diet, and it's 2 hours before our next meal, and we're already looking at the clock, and somebody walks in with a nice old candy bar or a Snickers, you know, and they're walking in front of us, you know, or a barbecue sandwich that you can smell, you know. I'm eating salad, and they're eating roast beef. How do you feel, right? Yeah, oh, we're happy, right? When we think about the hangries, each and every one of us knows what it is. But how many of us truly attribute the reality that we can have the spiritual hangries? That some of the things that are going on in our life, some of the things that are happening during our day are happening because we are spiritually hungry, not physically hungry. Okay? I'm going to pick on Ruth again. She knows I love her. All right? And we talked this morning already, and we're cool. Last week, I completely blew out on two pieces that I was supposed to bring to church. And I said to Ruth afterwards, because I did, you know, just coming back from vacation, and it's like, you know, hey, next week's another Sunday. And she says, well, and I said, oh, well, and I walked away. And it was funny because during the sermon, it just came right into play, didn't it? Felt right in. God is so good to us. And the amazing thing was, Ruth Ann was eating at that moment because she was taking up the sermon. And all of a sudden, that didn't matter so much, did it? So this week, I surprised her. I did half of it. That was totally a mistake. I wanted to have it all done and make nice with my sissy. And I'll be darned if I walked in the door and there's the women's retreat thing and I forgot to do the women's retreat paper. And I even read off of it last week. So even pastor gets those spiritual hangries where I'm trying to do what's good and do what's right, but I mess up. Ruth Ann gets those spiritual hangries, even in the midst of a Sunday. Okay, we all get them. What do they look like? Where do they come from? How do we deal with it? I want you to turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 4, beginning in the 35th verse. Please turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 4, verse 35. And you're going to see something here because I'm going to reiterate it and we'll deal with it and move in it because it is a truth that each and every one of us needs to look at, deal with, and understand that sometimes in life the attitudes that we have are not because we're actually bitter about something. It's because spiritually we have nothing to sustain us anymore. And I'll get into that. Let's look at the verse 35 through 41, chapter 4. And we all know this scripture, but how many of us have ever looked at it into its depth? And I say that facetiously because these guys are on a boat in the middle of a lake, all right? He says, on that day, when evening came, he said to them, let us go over to the other side. The other side of what? The other side of the lake. The other side of the Sea of Galilee. Okay? Leaving the crowd, they took him along with them in the boat, just as he was, and other boats were with him. And there arose a fierce gale of wind, and the waves were breaking over the boat, so much that the boat was already filling up. Jesus himself was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? And he got up and he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, hush, be still. And the wind died down and it became perfectly calm. And then he said to them, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? They became very much afraid and said to one another, who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? In the storms of life, how many times do we feel like we need to be doing something, or better yet, why isn't God doing something? And I want you to think about that, because when we think of the storms of life, how many of us think of hurricanes, right? There aren't many hurricanes in life, okay? But there are a lot of thunderstorms, and there are a lot of evening showers. Can I get an amen? And those storms happen quite frequently. And the amazing thing is we can build them. We can make them happen. Because we have the spiritual hangries. Because we're impatient with something or someone. Because spiritually we have lost something. Something is going on. Because God isn't doing something we think, or that we're not doing something. I mean, how many times, you know, I can remember my mom and dad when I was younger. You know, they would look at me and say, would you please just get out of the house and go do something? Because when we were kids, our parents didn't want us around. They wanted us outside, okay? I'm looking at our young people, okay? I was 7 and my parents would send me off because it just meant a messy house if I stayed in. But we lived in a time of life when you could run around the neighborhood and not worry, amen? Today, we got to keep a short leash. But at that point in time, we didn't. And our parents would send us out, and we would have some of the most wonderful adventures. But what I'm looking at here is where we are today. Where are we today? And we find those storms everywhere where we've got to pull it in, where we've got to batten down the hatches, or at least we feel like we need to, when the reality is something is going on. But it's not the something that we're thinking. It's not the something that we have to do something, or the something that God is not doing something. It is the something that we have lost our peace. We have lost our strength. We have used up our spiritual reserves. And now there is that angry, there is that hungry, that angry, that desire for peace, that looking for something that'll sustain, and that looking for something that's going to hold. And that's spiritual hangry. Because we're hungry and yet we're angry in spirit and in body and in mind. You see, when we are out of sorts spiritually, it affects us physically. Just as when we are out of sorts physically, it affects us spiritually. We need to remember the two worlds in us combine. We are physical, spiritual beings, and both of them must be fed. And as we do, we need to understand once again that as we get hangry, in such a time as that, what we can do is to once again look to be filled through what? Through the Word of God, we find those answers. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Psalms 37, okay? Psalms 37, 7 through 13. 37, 7 through 13. Keep a finger there in Mark because we're coming back. But Psalms 37, 7. Excuse me, I said 17. 37, 7. Psalms 37, 7 says to us, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who carries out wicked schemes. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, it leads only to evil doing. For evildoers will be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord, they will inherit the land. Yet a little while, and the wicked man will be no more. And you will look carefully for his place, and he will not be there. But the humble will inherit the land and will delight themselves in abundant prosperity. The wicked plots against the righteous and gnashes at him with his teeth. The Lord laughs at him, for he sees his day is coming. When we look at those words, we're told to rest in the Lord, right? Rest in the Lord. I want you to think about what it says here in Mark. Jesus says to the wind, says to the sea, hush, be still. What does it mean? Hush, be still. And now I want to ask you an even greater question. When Jesus was speaking to the sea that was out there raging and buffeting the boat, was he actually just speaking to the wind and the sea, or was he speaking to the disciples who were in the boat. I'm going to tell you right now, he was speaking to both. Because he was speaking spiritually to the sea, but he was speaking physically, spiritually to the disciples. They were all worried. They saw this storm and they got worried. These guys were fishermen. They knew what it meant to be out there in a boat. They didn't know how to handle themselves. Duh. You and I know what to do in the midst of life's storms. Call upon the name of the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. In fact, that's what I want you to hear. Verse 37, as we look at, or excuse me, verses 39 and 40, from what we looked at there, he says, "Be still. Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" Isn't that what the Lord is saying here? Have we forgotten who we are, whose we are? He says, take a spiritual Snickers. Be still. What? How can be getting still be a spiritual Snickers? It is. It is. What did we just read from Psalm 37? Well, let's look back there now again. Psalm 37, what did it say? From 37:7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him, okay? Our scripture says rest in the Lord. Other interpretations say be still in the Lord and wait patiently for him. We need to understand that being still means that we need to wait upon the Lord, that we need to look at where he is and what that means. What does that mean to us in the midst of our... How can I get a spiritual Snickers during this time? And if you don't like Snickers, you can get a spiritual Whatchamacallit or a spiritual Reese's Peanut Butter Cup. That would be my wife's choice, okay? A spiritual Reese's... And that's the only Reese's Peanut Butter Cup she can ever have again because she has diabetes. She just looks. It sticks her tongue out at me. No, she does, but it's not bad. She just has to watch her diet. But I pick on her. I tell her she's not allowed to have those things anymore. And she just looks at me and growls because she has the physical hangries. But as we look, what does it mean? It means we're to disengage, to be still, to wait upon the Lord. It means to disengage momentarily. Now, I don't mean disengage as we disengage in life. How many people see folks disengaging, and the next thing you know, they're worse off than they were before because they disengage and they turn internally wrong. They go into self, they disengage from life. That's not what we're supposed to do. I mean disengage from that moment. That moment when Ruth Ann was not getting from Pastor Rich what she wanted. Okay? That moment when your boss is telling you, you know, whatever, and you're like, but I do all this other stuff. Disengage. That moment when your spouse is not meeting your expectations. Disengage. You're going to be there physically, but I want you to spiritually disengage and look at just how important this thing is. Is life going to end on it? No. Disengage. Okay, that's the first thing we have to do. Disengage. And the only way we're going to be able to disengage is to trust God. Trust God and look to Him. Seek Him in that moment. And don't move. What do I mean by don't move? Do I physically mean that I got to stand here. Oh, no, you could get hurt doing something like that. You know, if you're in the middle of the street and a car's coming at you and you just stop, you could get run over, right? No, what I mean is don't move spiritually. From that moment, don't go anywhere until you hear from the Lord. You know, this is a lesson that I did not understand what the Lord was teaching me. He taught me this some 20 years ago when I first went into ministry because I was a miserable person. I mean, to tell you, I didn't realize how spiritually deprived I really was, because I thought I are a Christian. You know, we've all been there, right? We've called ourselves a Christian because we grew up in a Christian family. What was that? Well, Jesus was invited and God was invited to the room two times a day, generally, when somebody was speaking about him and it wasn't in a good manner. And we're Christians. We never prayed, but every time something went bad, God was brought in and so was Jesus Christ. And you all know what I mean by that when I say it. That's where my household was. So when I first came to the Lord, literally came to the Lord, and I'm talking 28 years ago when the Lord really changed my life around, 28, 29 years ago now, when I literally became a real Christian, a sold-out Christian, a Bible-believing, Spirit-filled Christian, God taught me this principle. It was one of the first things he taught me, and I didn't understand why. I do now. Because I wasn't at a place where I could take a dinner. All I could handle was a candy bar or a cookie. Because I was such a little kid, I just needed something to teethe on for a little while. So God would feed me these things, and he would give me this, and he would tell me, wait upon me. Don't move. Just stay here. Look at what's going on, and think about me. Think, what would I do? You know, I hate that because none of us know what Jesus would do, right? None of us know what Jesus would do. We like to think we do, but no, we don't know the mind of God. But I want you to think about, what does Jesus tell us to do? Love God, love others, and go. And if we can reflect on that, wow, can we change the way our world works? Can we change our own lives? And can we end that? Find a strength and a power that comes only from God. You know, I want us to remember verse 7 from Mark. It says, hush, be still in the midst of life's storms. Hush, shut up for one moment, spiritually, mentally. I mean, how many of us emotionally are just constantly screaming at the world? Stop. Hush. Shh. How many times do we do that with a baby, right? A baby's, wah! And we go, shh. Like they're supposed to know what that means, right? And for some reason they do. They get quiet. How does that work? That's what God is doing to us at those moments. Shh. Be still. Disengage for just a moment. You're still there. It's still going on, but disengage. And in that time, I will give you sustenance. In those moments, God will give you what is needed, not just reactionary movement, which many of us live by, amen, but peace, strength, resolve, power, and purpose. When we don't take captive every thought that comes into our being in Christ Jesus, we lose so much power. We lose so much resource. We lose so much peace and strength. That is it any wonder we're always walking around with the spiritual hangries and we don't even know we have them? You know, I think it's funny because now you've all been made aware. Guess what you're going to start doing in this next couple of days? You're going to be wondering, am I having the spiritual hangries right now? Do I need to just take a moment? God is going to do amazing things in each and every one of you. This is not a precept that is new. Oh my gosh, Pastor found a new thing. No, Jesus spoke this 2,000 years ago. Hush, be still. And yet it comes to us from even before then, because in the Psalms we have read it. Psalms 27 and 14, all right? Psalms 27 and 14. Psalms 27. Again, we were already there in 37. But now we're looking at Psalms 27 and 13. And what does it say? Twenty-seven and fourteen. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes. What? Wait for the Lord. Be still. Isn't that what it says? Be still and wait. That's what it means to be still. Wait. All right? There are also Psalm 33. I mean, these things are centuries, almost a millennia before the time of Christ. And Psalms 33, 20 and 22 read to us thusly. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart rejoices in Him because we trust in His holy name. Let your loving kindness, O Lord, be upon us according as we have hoped in You. Does that sound like power, refreshing, strength, and purpose? It certainly does in my book. You want to cure the spiritual hangries? Wait upon the Lord. Be still. Hush. Get quiet. Even if it's just for a moment, and that moment can be 0.2 seconds, just till you get yourself realigned with Him. When you make Him the focus of your mind and your heart, that quick, God can take control of a situation in you. Not that He's going to change the world, but what's He going to do? Strengthen you, empower you, feed you, that you can get through this moment of time. How many moments of time are there, folks? You're all looking at me like, how do we answer that? Exactly. It's exponential. We have no idea how long time is going to last. And as far as moments of time, they are ticking by as we speak. And you and I need to understand that all it takes is a moment in the Lord. For a day is as 1,000 years, 1,000 years is as a day. Isn't that what He says? We need to remember God's not a respecter of time. If we take a moment in time with the eternity of God, we are where? In eternity. That moment lasts eternally because He is eternal. So remember, we are talking a strength, a power, a resolve, a purpose that will strengthen and empower you beyond yourself into this world to do the work and the will of Him who sent us and transform you to the image of His Son, because that's what God wants in us. That purpose that we have just spoken of, because what is the purpose of all this? The purpose is the building up of our faith and witness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Back in Mark, again, He said to the disciples, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" That's what God is looking at. When He looks at us and we're having these spiritual hangries and we're having a meltdown in this moment because of this little thing, and it may seem this big, but in all reality, it's this big. Have we no faith? And God says, I'm going to give you that faith. I'm going to give you that purpose because I am that purpose. Psalms 37, 23 through 31. Again, it's the same psalm that we started with, because God continues on here. I want us to see that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The things that I preach because they are God in His fullness from time past to time present. And from 37, 23 through 31, we read these words. The steps of a man are established by whom? The Lord. And He delights in His way. When he fails, he will not hurtle headlong, because the Lord is the one who holds His hand. Okay? If God is in you, if God is working in you, if God is loving you, and if He is bringing you into this world to do the purposes and the plans of Him, that's what this is speaking about. Read on. I have been young, and I now am old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his descendants begging bread. All day long he is gracious and lends, and his descendants are a blessing. Depart from evil and do good, so you will abide forever. For the Lord loves justice and does not forsake his godly ones. They are preserved forever, but the descendants of the wicked will be cut off. The righteous one will inherit the land and dwell in it forever. The mouth of the righteous utters wisdom, and his tongue speaks justice. The law of his God is in his heart, and his steps do not slip. When we read that, what do you see? What do you hear? Because it literally tells us there that if we are walking in the will of the Lord, it's pleasing unto him. The Lord delights in our way. Please understand that. For those of us who walk in the Lord delights in our way. And all these other things are going to be added to us. So in other words, if we love God, love others, we can go with the message of the gospel. Because that is exactly what he's talking about there. This psalm sums up. This psalm is another way of expressing from the Old Testament, love God, love others, and go. When we lend to others without usury, when we share the word of God, what are we doing? We are loving others and we are going. And when we walk in God's ways, are we not loving God? Yes. Brothers and sisters, we are on course. We, the Heart of Christ Church, are on course. You who are listening to the Heart of Christ Church, if you are doing the things that the Scripture tells us, love God, love others, and go, you are on course. The evil one is going to try and knock you off that course. He's going to bring storms into your life. Stop, be still, and wait upon the Lord. It's only going to take a moment. But I'm going to tell you right now, when your focus is on him and not the situation, what becomes your power? Who becomes your power? The situation or God? The spiritual hangries can be cured that quick. We just got to get our minds and our heads out of our situation and out of our self-interest into the Lord. And when we do, all the good things of God will happen to us and our generations. Can I get an amen? We all get wore down. But God has sustenance for each of us if we will turn to him. Spiritual hangries. I'm not done with them. That's just one way to deal with them. You see, God delights in giving his children many, many things. Next week, we're going to look at another way that we can cure the spiritual hangries. And I dare say, many of us do it, but we do it improperly. And because we do it improperly, it does nothing for us. In fact, it just sucks up our time. And then we get frustrated because things aren't happening. Can anybody guess what I'm talking about? I ain't telling you until next week. My mom and dad used to tell me, and my first employer told me, do it right the first time, and it won't take half as long as the second time. Amen? Pray with me this day. Father God, we come before you in the mighty name of Jesus, who is the Christ, and we thank you for this word of truth that he brought to us. Hush, be still. And may we be still in him and find that nourishing of our souls to stem the spiritual hangries, that we will be filled with your grace, with your mercy, with your power, with your purpose, and with your love. Father, we thank you for this day, and we ask that you would bless those who are within our hearing. And as we go out from this place, Lord, may we teach others and show them to love you, love others, and go with the gospel of Jesus the Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.